Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we'll be talking about Mac accessibility with Mike Arrigo.
We'll review some of the built-in accessibility features in the Mac and give demonstrations of VoiceOver working with both the desktop and the web. You may remember last week's show in which we spoke with Pam Boy, who's raising her sixth guide dog puppy. Well, she played the show not only for herself, but for her puppy Casey, and sent us the following note. Thank you so very much. I enjoyed listening to the broadcast, although it was quite strange to hear myself talking. You did a great job editing the program. I loved how you introduced us and elaborated on the information. Casey, that's the puppy, was so cute. She was very interested in hearing the program, too. Her ears perked up when she heard her own little noises, and the funniest thing was that when the sound of her ringing the bells played, she ran over to the door.
Because, as you may remember, she was trained to ring the bell if she needed to use the facilities outside.
So thanks again to Pam.
That dog really was something, huh?
First, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, if you're thinking about switching from a PC to a Mac or vice versa, you'll need to learn your way around the new operating system, but really, that's not that hard.
And some people, when they say when it comes to learning the Mac, they will say, you know, when you try to learn the Mac, I mean, of course, it doesn't work the same way as Windows does in a lot of respects, so they'll say, well, forget everything you know about Windows. Well, I tend not to take that approach because that's just not the way the mind works. You don't forget stuff that you've learned. I would say there are some similarities and there are some differences, but just to say, you know, forget everything you know about, you know, Windows or whatever, that's not realistic. That's just not the way the mind works. So I find, and it was helpful for me, and other people have found it helpful, if you kind of, again, don't expect it to work exactly the same, because it doesn't, it has some differences, but to say, you know, on the Mac, this is the closest thing in Windows is this. So like in this case, you know, system preferences is kind of similar in a lot of respects to the control panel in Windows. Same idea.
And Mike has some real good advice there. I mean, I've worked in a number of operating systems through the years, both on mainframe computers, the first personal computers with MS-DOS, Windows computers, Unix, Linux. And although there are differences, certainly between all these operating systems, there's a lot of common similarities. I mean, so for example, every operating system has a notion of file systems. They may call them different names like directories, folders, but you know, there are many similar concepts. So don't throw all your learning out the window. You should keep that learning in mind and then notice what the changes are in the various operating systems.
Now, of course, we actually got a little bit wicked with a friend of ours for whom we do a lot of tech support, and we played on the general concept that it would be difficult to learn a new operating system. So when she was having lots and lots of trouble working with her PC, her Windows system, and she said, well, my friends Carol and Dan keep telling me how easy a Mac is to use. I'm going to get a Mac. And nothing we said could dissuade her from doing that, even though we knew that the operating system wasn't really the issue. And we finally boiled it down to, well, if you get a Mac, you know, we're Windows people. We won't be able to help you. But we knew we really could have been able to. And sure enough, she bought the Mac and in short order discovered that she still didn't know how to use Word or Excel or Mail or any of the other programs that work pretty much the same way in both.
So there's a lot of commonality between these computers, and she didn't know Windows, she wasn't likely to know the Macs. But if you're comfortable with computers, it shouldn't be any difficulty in learning a Mac and learning what the small differences are between the Windows and Mac operating systems.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Mike Arrigo. You may remember him from show number 1145, in which he talked about accessibility of smartphones.
My name's Mike Arrigo. I work in the computer field. I do computer tech support for a living. I do support for a database software program. My blindness is caused by a genetic condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis. I've had it since birth and have a little bit of vision, enough to be dangerous. I can't read print, though I can tell you if there's something on the page or if it's blank. So I have enough to see objects and things like that. I am a tech guru. I love my tech gadgets, and I am happy to share my knowledge with anybody who is interested.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is a review of the accessibility features that are built into the Mac operating system. Let's start with a brief overview of the system.
I got my first Macintosh back in 2008. I now have three of them. That's all I've got. I no longer have a PC at all. I have two Mac Minis, and I've also got a MacBook, which is a laptop. And I got my first one in 2008 when Mac OS 10.5 was out, and now, of course, we're up to 10.7. The accessibility that's built in, it does have, and I'll mention this first briefly because I don't know too much about it because I don't use it, but it is there if you want to use it. It's called a Zoom. It is a built-in magnifier that will magnify the screen, similar to what a Zoom Text or I think Magic, something like that will do. So that is available. I've never used it, but I know people who do, and they do like it. As far as what's built in as far as speech goes, there is a full screen reader, and I'm not talking something like what Narrator is in Windows. I don't really call that a screen reader at this point in time, at least. That's more of a assisted speech or something to that effect, because there's really not a whole lot of commands to read and things like that. Mac OS has a full screen reader called VoiceOver, and it does, I would say, everything that the Windows screen readers do, and in some ways does it better. It has all of the commands that I can think of that you could want, though Apple does take a little bit of a different approach.
So Mike mentioned Narrator in Windows, and you know, as he said, that screen reader is barely functional. Sometimes to get out of trouble if my regular screen reader JAWS crashes, I might use Narrator to figure out where I am or get things started again on the computer, but it really doesn't give you a lot of control over what you'll hear and how to navigate. And so what's neat about the Macs is that these accessible things are built right into the operating system. So for instance, VoiceOver and the Zoom tool he talked about for magnifying the screen. And the other nice thing is that these tools are common across many of the Apple products, such as the iPhone and the iPad, the iPods, iTouches, things like that. All these things have VoiceOver built into it, and they work in a very similar fashion. So if you're familiar with one device, you can use the others.
Another really nice feature is that as soon as you take your brand new Apple computer out of the box, it's actually got VoiceOver loaded into it and ready to run. You don't have to go through the initial setup of the computer with sighted assistance and then install your screen reader and then be able to function independently.
When you get a new computer, or if you've reinstalled the OS, which by the way, you can also do without sight, with this, you have VoiceOver that gives you speech and Braille, if you have a USB Braille display, during the install. So you go through the install the same way a sighted person does if you need to reinstall the OS. When you do that, and once your system restarts, you're then at the same place where you would be if you take a new Mac out of the box. It starts up and takes you to the setup screen, and you can then hold the command key, which is usually next to the spacebar, and press F5. And what that does is it starts up VoiceOver. If you don't do anything when you get to the setup screen for, I think it's like 30 seconds to a minute, the Mac assumes that you may not be able to see the screen and you need to know, you know, what to do. And then it will actually say, you know, Mac OS includes a built-in screen reader called VoiceOver. Press Command F5 to turn on VoiceOver and set up your computer. So from the start, you have a fully accessible computer out of the box. The setup is completely 100% accessible.
Now that's really a great feature that even if you don't do anything, if you can't see what's on the screen, when you get your new computer and turn it on, if you don't interact with it for long enough, it'll just start speaking to you and give you directions. It'll tell you how to start VoiceOver, and then you can start using the system from there.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that's pretty much unlike any other system. You couldn't do that with Windows. I mean, in order to install a new operating system of Windows or configure your computer, you really do need some sighted assistance to get things going there. The only other system I know that works out of the box is the Linux operating system, which is a version of Linux made especially for the visually impaired with built-in screen readers and magnification. We talked about that in show 1136.
And the other thing is, if you just walk up to a friend's Mac and they're not using VoiceOver or Zoom and you want to use one or the other, you can easily just walk up to somebody else's Mac. It's got the screen reader or screen magnification program built in, and with a couple of quick keystrokes, you can turn that on.
And that's always a problem with Windows operating systems or other computing systems. If they don't have JAWS or WindowEyes on those computers, it's very difficult for you to use them.
If you want to turn on Zoom, that's trivial.
Option, Command, and the number 8 actually turns on Zoom magnifier. And you can run the Zoom magnifier and VoiceOver at the same time also.
So that's a great way of just walking up to a computer, even if you don't own the computer. And if it's a Mac, you know you can use it if you're familiar with the VoiceOver and Zoom systems.
And of course, Apple never stands still. They're continually changing and upgrading and improving their products with every new release.
VoiceOver started in macOS 10.4, and they've made steady improvements ever since. I started with 10.5, and that was the second version, and that was already, you know, very usable. In 10.5, they added the ability to set hotspots. I do know they added that, which is kind of like setting windows in the Windows screen readers where you can set areas of the screen to be monitored and read and things like that. 10.6, when that came out, it added a lot of web things where it would tell you, you know, the number of links on a page and things like that. There's where they added table navigation. Also, they added hints in 10.6, like similar to what some of the other ones are. You are currently on a checkbox or you are currently on an edit field to move around in this field, such and such. In 10.7, which is the newest one, they've added what are called activities, which that allows you to kind of have different settings and things for different applications. They've added in documents, you can use one-letter navigation to move to the next word that contains that letter. They're on the fourth version, essentially, of VoiceOver.
You can tell from Mike's description that the VoiceOver screen reader has come a long way. And in fact, it sounds like it's just about on par with many of the commercial screen readers that are commonly used with Windows. A lot of these features have been available in the Windows screen readers for some time. First letter navigation you'll be familiar with in web and HTML pages to get to headings, buttons, links, things like that. And some of these other features he calls activities. These are sort of like the preferences and settings for these other screen readers in Windows. So it sounds like, from Mike's description, they're pretty much on parity these days.
But they work in slightly different ways. So Mike's going to describe a little bit about how VoiceOver actually works.
The primary way I think that Apple kind of expects you to work, and in some ways, and here's why I think it's better, is to use what's called the VoiceOver cursor. And what that is a reading cursor. It's not moving the mouse. You can have VoiceOver move the mouse with your reading if you wish, but you usually don't have to do that. Basically, it's use the VoiceOver cursor to navigate windows and applications and to activate items and to select things and things like that. So rather than the screen reader deciding, okay, this is what you need to pay attention to, this is what, you know, is the important thing, Apple has put that a little bit more in the hands of the user. Basically, the idea of we don't necessarily know what you need to pay attention to. We can read the focus if you tab around, but ultimately, you know best what you want to hear, or that's up to you. So what they've done and the way the user's guide kind of leads you is to use the VoiceOver navigation keys to move through things and to activate items. And that way you get, you know, the most speech and are able to find and access what you need. And secondly, then once you know the keys, they work in all applications. There really is no separate keys for navigating the web or navigating a document. When you know the keys, they work everywhere. So if you issue the VoiceOver command to go to the next control, for example, that works on the web, or it works even in a dialog box. It works every place.
Again, this is fairly similar to using screen readers and Windows. There are some differences in how this works. You know, in Windows, many of the screen readers have this notion of the focus, which moves with the standard navigation commands like tab and arrows, so you can move around from button to button, link to link. Screen readers in Windows also have this notion of, for example, some other cursor, the mouse cursor, or in JAWS they call it the JAWS cursor, the invisible cursor. There are various ways of navigating around. So I think many of these have similar features, but it may take a little getting used to figure out the details and exactly what's going on.
Well, and the other thing you can do with VoiceOver is you can set a cursor to actually be visible on the screen, so that a sighted person who's coming around and watching what you're doing for whatever reason, maybe they're assisting or maybe they're just watching for some other reason, they can actually see where you're moving the VoiceOver cursor to. And I can't tell you how many times Pete's asked me to help him out with some new piece of software, and he's going all over the place with the JAWS cursor, and I can't see it, and I have no idea where he is. So that makes it a little tricky for the sighted person to assist the blind person.
I think that's probably one of my biggest frustrations with JAWS. They use this notion of a virtual document, which I can scroll around through HTML documents, web pages, and the like. But as I am navigating these documents, often a sighted person who may want to see what I'm doing, or I may want to be teaching them something, they can't figure out where I am or where I'm going or what I'm looking at. And that makes it very confusing. So apparently the Mac does not work that way. And you can follow the navigation as the user of the screen reader is working around the screen and through the various dialogues.
So another nice feature is that if you happen to have a computer that has a touchpad, whether it's an iPad or you just have a touchpad on your keyboard, you can actually use the standard gestures that are common throughout the Apple family on the touchpad. So if you're used to zooming by doing that gesture that makes things zoom in or zoom out, you can still do that with VoiceOver.
Which again is one of these nice features of the Apple product line, is there's a lot of commonality between the various devices. If you can run one and you're comfortable with how VoiceOver works on one device, you'll be comfortable with it on the other devices that you have that are Apple products.
Now, another feature that Mike mentioned is that you can actually use VoiceOver with your Braille display right out of the box. And from the Apple website, which is www.apple.com/accessibility, which has a huge amount of information. If you're really interested, I recommend you go there. They say every Mac includes built-in support for over 40 of the most popular USB and Bluetooth Braille displays. Since the software is built in, when you connect a Braille display to your Mac, VoiceOver automatically recognizes the model and programs the keys that it'll be using, including whiz wheels, scrollers, router keys, buttons, and everything else to best suit each model's characteristics.
And I asked Mike about grade 2 support on these devices, and apparently that is supported also. So this is, again, just as functional as many of the Braille displays on your Windows computers using the commercial screen readers for Windows. And the other thing that's kind of neat about these Braille displays, I've heard of people, you talked about the commonality, they are using their Bluetooth Braille displays with iPhones and some of those other Apple devices. So again, this commonality of the operating system characteristics can be a very nice thing.
So maybe you're getting your interest piqued here. You want to learn more about it. Maybe you just bought a Mac. You want to get more information on how to run it. Well, they've got a built-in tutorial. Not surprising. Also not surprising, it's really easy to get to with a couple of keyboard keystrokes.
So I'm going to press Control-Option-Command-F8 here.
The VoiceOver Quick Start. In this quick start, you'll learn the location of important keys on your keyboard and important VoiceOver commands. You can exit the quick start at any time and finish it later.
You can also get to the Getting Started guide on the Apple website, and that's a long link, but we will put that link and all of the other links on our show notes, as usual, on our website at www.viewpointsplus.net.
As usual, there's a lot of this documentation online. If you Google Apple VoiceOver, you'll find lots of this documentation, lots of tutorials, some audio tutorials that you can listen to. But it's nice to know that some of these tutorials and all of the documentation is built into the Macs and is accessible right out of the box, as we've pointed out.
Now for this week's high-tech item. We'll actually have some demonstrations of VoiceOver doing some of its basic tasks. We'll start with simple navigation.
Energy saver button, flash player button, general button.
So we're sitting on general now. I was just using the tab key there, just moving the focus. Now, if I use the VoiceOver navigation keys, which, by the way, are if you hold the control and the option keys down, you press the left and right arrow keys there, and that moves an item at a time. We're sitting on the general item. Now, what I'm going to do is press numpad 6, and that is the VoiceOver navigation to move to the next item. Numpad 4 moves to the previous one.
iCloud button, keyboard button, language and text button, mail, contacts and calendars button, mission control button, mobile me button, mouse button.
So there I was using the VoiceOver cursor.
That voice is really nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And of course, from the Apple website, they tell you just how nice it is. That's Alex. And apparently the only way to use Alex is on a Mac. Alex uses advanced patented Apple technologies to deliver natural intonation, even at extraordinarily fast speaking rates. He sounds so natural, he even breathes after speaking long passages.
So we had Mike demonstrate some of the other capabilities in some more complex applications, and let's see what he has to show us.
This next one includes interaction, which is an Apple term that they use with VoiceOver.
What I'm going to do is I'm in the Skype window, which is our conversation window. I'm just going to zap to the top.
Toolbar.
It doesn't read you all the items in the toolbar right away. So that way, if you're interested in it, you can interact with it, which I'll do in a second. If you're not interested in the icons in the toolbar, then you just skip it and you move on. So let's say we wanted to read what was in that toolbar. Let's go ahead and interact with it.
Interact with toolbar, 7 items, current picture button.
Now you notice it said interact with toolbar, 7 items, current picture. Now our VoiceOver keys will only move within that toolbar and not the entire screen, so we can read it in detail. And when we're done, we'll just stop interacting with it. So we'll just move along this this toolbar here. Current picture is the first item.
Invisible pop-up button.
Let's keep going.
Microrego button, dial pad button, $7.99 current balance button, add menu button, search text field.
So that's the toolbar. So if we're done with it, let's just stop interacting with that then.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
So now we can read the rest of the Skype window.
So I think the concept of interacting is meant for different objects that may be on the screen or document. You navigate to these objects, and rather than reading the entire contents of the object or having to navigate through all that information, you can just navigate from object to object. If you're interested in what's inside the object, then you interact with it, and then you can navigate within the object to find all those things.
So that's working with something you might have on your desktop. We also asked him to do a demonstration of working with a web page, and where else did we take him? But www.viewpointsplus.net. Now, I'm sure if you've ever used a screen reader, you're familiar with what this sounds like. He was typing faster than it could talk, so you won't actually hear the web address given very clearly during this demo.
So we'll do Command L.
Open location.
And we'll type in
viewpointsplus.net. Untitled WIM HTML content. Viewpoints radio show and podcast page has 11 links, 3 headings.
11 links and 3 headings. Let's just go to the top here and let's read this.
Heading level 1, viewpoints. Viewpoints shown in Braille. Link, click here for podcasts with show notes and archive. Link, click here to answer our question of the month. Heading level 1, what's new? We're embracing social media. Now you can follow Viewpoints on both Facebook and Twitter at link www.facebook.com/viewpointsplus and link www.twitter.com/viewpointsplus.
Mike demonstrated for us a number of capabilities of the Mac VoiceOver system in various applications, and it seems pretty functional, pretty much equivalent to Windows, as we said. Now, one issue I thought that the VoiceOver program had was there isn't any scripting language, so it's not possible to customize how it works with various applications if they don't work quite well. Mike doesn't consider this a limitation because most of the applications do seem to work pretty well because Apple has a very controlled operating system, let us say, and so that isn't a problem for most applications. Although he did mention some applications that don't work well with VoiceOver. One of them is, for instance, Microsoft Office. Now, he said, of course, there are other alternatives you can use that work very well with VoiceOver, but I've seen from experience before that sometimes if you use some of these so-called equivalent programs to Office, you may lose some formatting, you may not be able to interact quite as well with other colleagues, coworkers, things like that. So these are some of the issues you might want to think about, and the software, specific software that you have to run on your computer to get your job done.
Now, in that demonstration of VoiceOver, when Mike had VoiceOver reading from our website, it read some fairly new items that we have up there. We've been working on keeping our website more active, so things change once in a while. He read what's in the What's New segment, and that's always at the top, and we change that every once in a while. And those What's New segments are being collected in a blog. So if you want to see a prior entry, you just go to www.blog.viewpointsplus.net. And we've also got a question of the month up there on the webpage. And this question of the month has frankly been up there for several months, but we've accumulated a lot of responses at this point. Not surprisingly, when we asked people who were looking at our webpage where they found out about Viewpoints, 72% of them said they found out about it from a mail forum or distribution list. 11% said they heard about it from a friend. 5% each said they heard about it on the radio or from somewhere else on the web. And about 9% said other, and we neglected to include a write-in box, so we don't really know.
We haven't mentioned that survey, but we'll be changing that every once in a while, so you can check back and answer our questions and share our responses with other listeners.
That's it for show number 1210. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about highlights from the CSUN International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference that was held in San Diego last week. We'll speak with several attendees and get their impressions of what was new and exciting. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net. or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.